from it. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you could slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, Jennifer doesn't know this, and Murray didn't know it, but my challenge at the end of my sermon is that you will learn Psalm 139. So we've had it twice, in a way. It's a wonderful psalm. And as I am getting older, I tend to forget that I'm going to challenge you also with a memory verse. So you're going to get the memory verse now. Okay, Psalm 139. Verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. So we'll just bow our heads for a short prayer. Is it rumbling because I'm too close to it? No? Is it just me? Yeah, okay. Let's bow our heads. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that this morning you will open our eyes to see Jesus, that you will open our hearts to invite him into our hearts. And also, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will go away from this church this morning, having been blessed in one way, whether it was from those short passages in Colossians chapter 4 that Graham brought to us earlier, whether it's in the hymns that we have sung this morning, whether it was in the prayers, or whether it is in the Bible reading. I pray, Lord, that each of us will be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be here again. I do enjoy coming back here. And in the room at the back, I said, if I'm invited back again, I'd like to preach on a passage that is precious to each and every one of you. Well, Graham jumped in straight away, so I've got his. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I will prepare for that for when I next come. But if you have a favourite passage and you would like me to open it up to you, then let Graham know and he'll let me know. Or you can even tell me this morning. Psalm 139. I've called it Developing a God is in Control Lifestyle. In this psalm, God dives into the details, letting you know he oversees both the major and the minor parts of our daily lives. Many of you probably watched the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. Millions of people around the world watched this service. As the coffin of Queen Elizabeth II was carried into Westminster Abbey, the royal choirs solemnly sang, O Lord, thou hast searched me out and you know me. They sang Psalm 139, from the first verse to the last verse, and the words were printed in the programme. A few years earlier, at the Queen's request, Psalm 139 was also read to commemorate her 90th birthday. Queen Elizabeth II apparently believed she had been anointed from the womb for a life of service, and it was her heart's desire to be defined by the words of this incredible psalm. After all, it was written by another monarch, King David. I'm happy to tell you Psalm 139 isn't just for royalty. It's a personal passage given to every child of God. This psalm tells you exactly what God thinks of you, how he thinks of you, and when he thinks of you. And that is constantly. Our life can be defined by the words of this psalm. As I said at the beginning, Psalm 139, God dives into the details, letting you know he oversees every aspect of daily life. Not just the major, but also the little daily things. When our brain absorbs the truths of this chapter, we begin to develop a God is in control lifestyle. We realize God governs both the large and also the small issues of life. As we embody Psalm 139, we inevitably grow in our self-assurance, in God's confidence and inner contentment. According to Psalm 139, God's omniscience knows all about us, verses 1 to 6. His omnipresence encircles us, verses 7 to 12. His creative power makes and keeps us, verses 13 to 18. And his righteousness saves us and gives us life everlasting, verses 19 to 24. back in the early 1980s, I was asked to speak at the Christian Union at Bristol University on the importance of life, verses 13 to 18. And although there was a lot of heckling, by the end, everyone was quiet and listening. Verses 23 to 24, you might think I've got the end of my talk, but sorry. This psalm ends with a prayer of application. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we need to thank him for the circumstances he has brought us through and the plans he still has for each one of us. So let me suggest four ways of transforming these lyrics into a lifestyle. Firstly, how God knows me and I can know him, verses 1 to 6. First, remind yourself that you can know him who knows you so very well. We can never know God as well as he knows us. But what a blessing to realize how he thinks of us. Remember where your relationship with him started. In your mother's womb. Remember how he made you, woven beautifully together in the darkness. Recall how he has gone before you and comes behind you. Remember, the one who began a good work in you is carrying it on. Kate is a Christian motivational speaker who works extensively with single adults. She hears a lot of stories of hurt and rejection, and she understands the pain of being misunderstood. She encourages people to come back to God's truths. She says, whenever I need a dose of remembering who I am and how I am uniquely designed, I read my go-to chapter in the Bible, Psalm 139. You know all about me. It's the perfect passage to make me feel deeply known. When I read Psalm 139, I usually say it out loud, with passion and conviction in my voice, as though I'm reciting my very own powerful declaration of belonging. I'm going to challenge all of you, not to do it now, I'm going to challenge all of you to read Psalm 139 slowly out loud. Reading it to yourself, because I assure you, reading it out loud is utterly thrilling. Read it once slowly, then read it again passionately and highlight words that stand out for you. Read it as many more times as it takes for you to soak in the entirety of its meaning. Because you'll be soaking up a new lifestyle. Of Psalm 139 way of thinking. Secondly, how God surrounds us, verses 7 to 12. Thank him. As you think of the truths of Psalm 139, thank God for his involvement in the details of your everyday life. Thank him for the circumstances he has brought you through and for the plans he still has for each one of us in this room today. Thank him that all the elements of his nature reach down to bless all the details of your days. Whether in daylight or darkness, he is around you. To pray Psalm 139 is to come to acute awareness of what it means to be a creature surrounded for God's presence. Charles Swindle, known as Chuck, one of my heroes of the faith, has a very deep memory of reading verses 9 and 10, which says in the New Living Translation, if I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Chuck wrote, "The first time I grasped the magnitude of these verses, I was in the Marine Corps on a troop ship crossing the Pacific Ocean, bound for the Orient. It took 17 days. The ocean swells on stormy days were 40 to 50 feet high. And when our ship was down in the bowels of the swell, the crest loomed above us like a giant domed building about to fall on us. As we would rise up to the peak, we could see nothing but water all around us. Deep, blue-black swells, never ending across the horizon. 360 degrees around. I remember opening my Bible early one morning to Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, and honestly, I almost shouted. I suddenly felt at ease in his presence. My loneliness seemed utterly foolish. His hand was leading me. His right hand was holding me right there in the remotest part of the sea. Though I was literally insignificant by comparison to the vast stretches of water around me, a calm, secure feeling swept over me. As it settled into your heart, Psalm 139 will thrill you too with renewed gratitude, and it will help you establish a lifetime of thanksgiving." Have you ever had that impression when you've been reading something from the scriptures that you've wanted to shout it out? I very nearly shot Greyfriars. I didn't do it. But after I'd had my cataract operation, I could suddenly see. Went into church that morning, nothing had changed. I took my glasses off, and the screen, because they have the words up on screens because of the number that go, suddenly came right into my face. And I felt like shouting, "Hallelujah, Lord, I can see." I didn't. But there are times when I read the scriptures when I really do want to shout out, "How great thou art." Thirdly, how God has made me, the marvel of life, verses 13 to 18. Trust him. You'll also learn to trust him more if he knows you surrounds, if he knows you, surrounds you, makes and keeps you, and delivers you, as the psalm says, there's nothing left but to trust him. Trust him with yesterday, for he comes behind you. Trust him with tomorrow, for he goes before you. And trust him with today, for his hand is on you. Last weekend we took our grandchildren up to Sherwood Forest. Anybody who can see it on the map will know it takes about 3 hours. I'm only allowed to drive for 1 hour, and Jennifer's not allowed to drive at the moment. Two grandchildren are too young to drive. It took me 7 hours. There was an accident on the motorway, and everybody came off and were on the roads around. And I felt so grateful to God, because I stepped out of that car to have a meal 1 hour before we finished our journey, so 6 hours into the journey. And I was so thankful to him that I still had the energy and the strength. I didn't sort of flop down. I ordered whatever it was I was going to eat and ate it. But the fact that I had that energy, you would have thought I'd only driven from our house to here, except driving all that distance. Part of the reason was Jennifer told me to go right and I went left, which was a big mistake, because I was at the top of a Y. I went that way, should have gone that way. Couldn't turn round, there's too much traffic. The roads were too narrow. Anyway, the roads joined up. But of course, I had to do that as well when I got up there. I don't think she said to me, "I told you so," but she probably thought it. So Psalm 139 tells us that we were created with care, made to be loved, and infused with blessing from the God who can lead us in the way everlasting. A friend, Mary, recalls speaking at a woman's retreat in Devon. A woman named Molly approached her and said, "You just don't know how you changed my life." Mary couldn't imagine what she had said to bring about such a thing. Molly explained that at a prior retreat, Mary had challenged the women to memorize Psalm 139, just as she had done with a Sunday school class in her church. Each Sunday, Mary recalled, her class would quote the next verse in the psalm and share testimonies of how God had used it to set the class members free from wrong thinking. Interestingly, Mary said, Psalm 139 spoke to many varying needs. God's Spirit applied it in unique ways to the individuals who memorized the chapter. Mary had suggested the practice at a prior retreat, and now Molly was testifying to the same thing. She had developed a Psalm 139 lifestyle. In Romans 10:17, we read these words, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And Psalm 139 is a choice portion of the word of God. Think you can memorize it? Nobody put their hand up. Think again. There are 24 verses. If you learn 2 verses a week, you'll have this psalm memorized perfectly in 3 months. And you'll have it installed in your sanctified mind for the rest of your life. Some of you may know this little girl. She's no longer a little girl. She's now married. Has she got Christian children? Yeah. Jennifer knows what I'm going to say. Christy Fountain, age 7, memorized the weekly memory verse set by my wife at Greyfriars. At the end of the year, Jennifer asked the children present how many of them had remembered a verse or two that they'd learnt during the year. Christy Fountain recited all the verses. That's all 52 verses. Wasn't that she was a brain box? She was brainy, but she was dedicated to it. Her parents were missionaries, but they were now living and attending New Hope, which is a Greyfriars plant. Jackie, the mum, is now the vicar of St. Catherine's, Tynehurst. I keep meaning to remind her of what Christy had done all those years ago. Has she got children, Christy, do you know? No. So fourthly, how God tests me, verses 19 to 24. You need to ask him. This is the difference between the righteous man and the wicked, verses 19 to 22. David is even more determined to avoid the company of the ungodly, who are unconscious of God's awareness of them and live as they will. And I'm going to read you a psalm that ought to pop into your heads about the good and the ungodly. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Whenever I read this psalm, I often think of Hampton Court, where it says here, not Hampton Court, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. There is a majestic vine at Hampton Court, and the gardener can go away on holiday and forget to delegate the watering to his staff. But nothing affects that vine, which has been there for hundreds of years. Why? Because it has a tap root which goes under the lawns and into the Thames. It's true. I did know how many years it's been there. But I don't want to say something and then find I'm wrong. Finally, take the last two verses of the psalm seriously. And we need to take it seriously. I think we need to take the whole of Psalm 139 seriously. Some people worry about it. But it should be for all good Christians a psalm of real joy. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. It takes a certain amount of courage to pray these words, but they give the Lord full permission to continue his work within you, developing in you the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. I call it the Psalm 139 walk. It permits Christ to become detail-oriented in your life, probing even the underlying components of your attitude and behavior. Philippians 1 verse 6 reads, "Remember the one who began a good work in you is carrying it on." And in Psalm 138:8, "And he wants to perfect that which concerns you." My friends, will you this morning take the Psalm 139 challenge? Put into practice the disciplines needed to help affirm God's presence in all things, to live boldly, and to grow in holiness and confidence. How conscious are you of the all-seeing eye of God upon you, Monday through Friday? Amen.